Last time we checked in with Ken Hirst, the outgoing president and CEO of the George W. Bush Presidential Center, we were looking back. Now we'll look ahead. We've asked Ken Hirst to join us again. Thank you for coming back.
Thanks for having me back.
So what's undone? I mean, this place is really very impressive, but you've got a lot of real estate around here. And you've also got a lot of demand. It's really grown in the community. Should there be bigger plans for this?
Well, we're not going to build anymore. This is the building. So programmatically, do we have some white space? You know, as long as there are challenges, I think there's always going to be a chance to think about ways to address the challenges of the day. It's really important for the Presidential Center, for our institute, to stay presidential in nature. We should be thinking about big topics that are central to the conversation of the day, and that fall under the guise of, if not us, then who?
So right? Then it's sort of a living organization.
It has to be a living organization. And so that's what the Bush Institute's all about. Our big areas are around opportunity for all, strengthening our democracy, and advancing free societies around the world. Now, today, opportunity is around making sure markets work, making sure we have great immigration reform, make sure we have educations at work, and make sure our veterans are taken care of. Those subtopics may not be the topics of 2050.
And hopefully not. But hopefully we'll have conquered those and can move on to some other concerns.
But opportunity for all sounds pretty timeless to me.
It does. Right? So what happens to you now? Are you going to go back? I mean, you were really a fascinating guy. I mean, you became this energy czar and didn't know beans about energy.
Correct.
If memory serves. And next thing I know, you're co-founder of this, you know, multi-billion dollar corporation, NGP, rub elbows with Rainwater and all the people in Fort Worth. You've got a book under your belt now. You're an accomplished author. What's next for you?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the book, The Fastest Tortoise. There's still a few copies available. I'll borrow a line from Anthony Scaramucci that I've written a best-selling book and I have the boxes in my basement to approve it. So feel free to plug the Fastest Tortoise.
Well, I want you to know, yeah. I bought it. I didn't go to the library.
Okay.
I bought it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Right. What's next for me? I don't know. Quite honestly, I am actually, as I did write about in the book, it's important for me to give a little space and as I say, let the fog of the future excite me. I don't know what the future is. And when I counsel young people, I say, don't be so overly scripted and motivated to go do one thing, because secretly what you're doing is closing off other opportunities that may show up. If you're so determined to get from point A to point C, you never know what's at B or B prime or B2.
Yeah, but that energy business, it's a vastly different business.
It is.
From what, 1988 or something,
it
when
is.
You started that. I saw the other day that I think Texas alone produces, 40% of the gas in the U.S. and maybe 29% worldwide. That's astounding.
Yeah, no, Texas alone is an energy superpower for sure. But the energy business is interesting. I maintain connectivity through my investments there and some boards I sit on. But I have gotten a taste of the public policy world, which is interesting. I'm going to stay on the board here at the Bush Center and to be as helpful as I can to Shiloh. I know he'll do great. And I'm looking forward to that. And then, quite honestly, I'll take a little time off and see what the future brings.
And any chance you could run for office? I mean, you're a young guy. You're not even ready for Social Security yet.
So. I have no idea what the future is going to bring. That is not a denial, but it is not saying I'm going to do anything either. You know, public service right now is a really, really challenging. It's a really challenging endeavor, and you better be ready to go all in.
Boy, that's true.
And it's really unfortunate that it can be as destructive as it is. So I don't know. I don't know if I can be helpful in ways. I'll try to do that primarily. It takes a special talent to want to run. I don't see that in my future, but I never say never.
The divides keep getting wider. You must see that. I mean, one of the great jobs you have is sitting there on stage with a chair next to people that everybody always dreams of meeting and talking to and debriefing, but the schism is just horrible.
You know, I'll say it is and it isn't. I think that our politicians are deeply divided. I think that the extremes on both sides of the aisle are deeply divided. But I don't think that the America, the kind of the bread and butter center of America is that divided. I think if you go to a Rangers game and you see 30,000 people in the stands and somebody hits a Grand Slam home run and you're high-fiving the people next to you, you're having a perfectly good experience sitting to the people next to you and you're high-fiving them, and you might say, can you excuse me, I need to get by you, whatever. You don't ask what their political views are. You may be diametrically opposed on things. It doesn't matter. You're enjoying the ball game. And I think that when I see what people do in the streets with their neighbors, at their school boards, in their daily life, I see civility all over the place. Where I see incivility is on TV when I see our politicians talking.
Would it be better if more than half of those guys didn't have to run for office constantly?
Well, you know, term limits is one of those arguments, is that if people had term limits, then they wouldn't always.
I didn't really thought. I was thinking about running every 2 years.
Running every 2 years. That election cycle is just on you. You are on the clock all the time. So, you know, it's become a reality. It's a 24-hour news cycle. That's that game. Okay, which is why it's not necessarily my game anymore for that. It takes a different cast of characters. But I would say I see so many people working in their community, trying to do well and do good and helping each other, and the outpouring when something were to go wrong. I see that and you go, you know what? At the core level, we're not as divided as people think we are. There's a lot of decency going on and there's a lot of civility. Okay, we don't sit here and ask people, everybody's their political affiliation, and tell me about you, take a poll and can you sit here and can sit there. That stuff shows up in weird places at weird times, and mostly it shows up on Twitter and on TV. So guess what I don't do? I don't scroll Twitter and I don't watch TV.
So we need more baseball games, more Netflix, and less Fox and CNN.
Absolutely. And the Rangers need to hit, and we'll be fine. And
I know they will. I know they'll come around. So you had your book was fascinating.
Thank you.
But it was a great story. And I'm glad they all lived in the end, too. Like I say, I finished it. So what's next? You're working on another book?
I am. We'll see how that goes. It's not really good right now. About two-thirds of the way through it, but the first one took me 6 years. This one will take me a little bit shorter, I hope.
Is this a more recent period?
It'll be more recent. The last one kind of ended when I took the Bush Center job, and this will be kind of some leadership lessons and refinements that I've thought about myself since then. And you know, when you write a book, in today's day and age, you don't write a book to become a best-selling author. You write a book almost for introspection. It's cheaper than therapy. And so writing something, when you ask yourself to put something down on page, on a piece of paper that's authentic and real and thoughtful, and then you go back and read it and ask those same questions again, you know, you learn a lot about yourself along the way. And my book started as a very simple history of the firm, because I realized our firm didn't really have a history, and wasn't even going to publish it. I was going to print 50 copies and give 40 to the people at the firm and put 10 on my shelf for future unborn grandchildren. And then I ended up having a heart attack and a near-death experience and took this job and learned so much about myself that it became a real personal life learning lessons book, and it took on a completely different meaning along the way. So the process of writing is fascinating.
Just that since 2016 here, I mean, the people that you've run across, as I say, I've seen you on stage interviewing. That must be a blast.
It's been.
You must have some great stories.
Yeah, I got some good, really good stories. But
who's your favorite?
My favorite? Oh gosh, Jeff Bezos was pretty special.
Yeah.
Indra Nooyi was spectacular. I'm just glad she wasn't hiring, because otherwise I would have lost every person on my staff. All the women on my staff would have gone to work for her in a nanosecond. I would have had to rebuild the whole team here. Jim Mattis, oh my God, is he
really
an American iconic, decent hero, if there ever was one?
You didn't call him Mad Dog, I guess.
No, in fact, he didn't really like that.
I can't imagine why.
Coined by the media, not by him. But there's just so many, but it's just been a real joy. This year I was able to interview Emmanuel Acho. I usually ask the question, what advice would you give to your younger self? And you know, he's 34 years old, so I asked him, what advice would you give to your older self? but just really dynamic. And again, these are opportunities that we have here at the Bush Center to bring people to this community they couldn't otherwise hear from, who are glad to come because of President Bush's goodwill. It's not Ken Hirsch's goodwill. It's President and Mrs. Bush. They have a calling card. They let us use it.
Well, there's a lot of Ken Hirsch in there. And I'll end by congratulating you much belatedly, but there's nothing I am more impressed by is the title of Laureate of the Horatio Alger Society. Oh. That is just a remarkable organization. I've been privileged to go up there for a couple of three inductions, and that's pretty high cotton.
Well, thank you. I thought you were going to say that the being on the board of the world champion Texas Rangers in 2023, I thought that's what you were going to say.
And for 2025?
Keep our fingers crossed.
We've got some young hitters coming up.
I hope so.
All right. So that's the future. Ken Hirsch is still the president and CEO of the George W. Bush Presidential Center, but not for long.
Not for long.
Thanks for the time.
Well, thank you for what you do for the community as
Thanks.
Well.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.